Welcome to The Word in 10, a devotional from Dwell Community Church. Scott Risley here with a short word from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3 takes place at the beginning of the New Testament after a long period of waiting. On the first pages of Scripture, God said that one day he would send the promised one to make things right. And now in Matthew 3, after thousands of years and hundreds of prophecies, God's ready for the next phase of his plan. Many so-called messiahs show up on the scene and announce themselves, but not Jesus. He's part of a grand plan whose preparation began before the beginning of time. And now he goes through an important event before beginning his public ministry. Let's look at the baptism of Christ. Matthew 3:13 says, Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Yes, Jesus was from Galilee, specifically Nazareth. Being from Galilee was not something to be proud of, and coming from Nazareth, that was even worse. It's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. They had a saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Which is kind of ironic because actually the best thing that ever happened to the human race came from Nazareth. Matthew tells us that Jesus went to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. This is kind of strange. Why would Jesus need to be baptized by John? John taught you need to confess your sins and be baptized, but Jesus didn't have any sins to confess. He was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. John taught you need to repent and head a different direction, but Jesus is the direction. He's the way, the truth, and the life. John taught you need to follow the one who comes after me. Jesus couldn't do that because Jesus is the one who came after him. Even John was confused by this. We read, but John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus doesn't disagree with John. He says, permit it at this time. It's as though this is a special one-time thing, that it's not yet time for the baptism Jesus will bring. He says we must fulfill all righteousness. Something is being fulfilled here. And then look what happens next. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. The voice of God the Father, quoting two Old Testament passages. The first part from Psalm 2:7, a psalm about the royal king of Israel. The second part from Isaiah 42:1, a song about the suffering servant. God the Father brings both pictures together, describing Jesus as the royal prince of the Psalms and the suffering servant of Isaiah. This is one of many passages that teach the doctrine of the Trinity, that God is three in person, one in essence. Jesus is fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God, but God is one. Sometimes people describe the Trinity like God keeps running off stage and changing clothes and coming back on as another member of the Trinity. That's not what Scripture teaches. And here we see all three persons of the Trinity on stage at once. God the Son in the water, God the Spirit descending, God the Father is speaking. We asked, why did Jesus get baptized? I see at least three reasons. First, this brings about the end of the succession of kings that started when the prophet Samuel anointed King David. Here, the final prophet, John, anoints the final eternal king, King Jesus. A second reason is that Jesus is identifying with the people he came to save. Jesus identified with us as part of his mission to die in our place. He was born in a stable, grew up poor, went through trials, temptations, just like us. His baptism may have been part of that identification. Jesus also received the Holy Spirit as an important part of his identification with us. When Jesus came to earth, he laid aside the use of his divine attributes and depended on the power of the Holy Spirit for his spiritual life and ministry. And if Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit, we need to do that too. There's a danger that any Christian can fall into, where we begin to depend on our own strength. Yeah, we might be able to coast for a little while on our own, but we're going to run out of energy. A third reason for Jesus' baptism was that this was the occasion for a tremendous affirmation from the Father. "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Part of this is for the sake of John the Baptist. God told John, "The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." It was a sign for John. Perhaps crowds were there as well. Perhaps they heard this voice or saw the dove. It's unclear. But it would have been a similar affirmation for them. But I don't think this is just for the sake of others. I believe this is also for the sake of Jesus. Here you have the Father telling his Son how proud he is of him, how much joy he brings him, how much he loves him. We wonder, that seems like a waste of space, seems like a waste of time. Well, if that doesn't make sense to you, there's something about the Father love of God that you are missing. It's a little easier to understand this if you're a father, like me, for example. I have two kids, and I love them so much, and I'm so proud of them, and they bring me so much joy. A few years back, I got the chance to coach my son's basketball team. I wasn't the head coach, I was the assistant to the head coach. But when the season started, we were bad, really bad. And then we started winning some games, and I was so proud of the kids. However, nothing could match the pride I felt when my own son would make a play or score a basket. When you become a dad, there's this portion of the nervous system that bypasses the decision-making part of your brain, and I think it's wired directly to the mouth, and it shouts for joy when you're proud of your kids. So I'd tell myself, okay, I'm the coach, I have to be impartial, and then my son would make a play, and I'd be like, yeah! I think that impulse I feel as a broken human father is what we're seeing here from our perfect heavenly Father. And here's the good news. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you can be adopted by God the Father and come into a special father-son or father-daughter relationship with him. Romans 8:15 says, "The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." Abba, an intimate term for dad. Your whole life, you've longed for the affirmation of a parent. There's a reason for that. You're longing for this. Some of us didn't have very involved fathers. Some never even met our dads. As a result, we can't talk about our fathers without triggering either a flood of emotions or a strange numbness. We long for a father to approve of us and give us identity, security, and significance. If you come to God through Jesus, know that he says to you, "You are my beloved child, and you bring me great joy."